getting ready to have a tool sale. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but, you know, even he had too many tools. I don't know how that can happen, but, you know, he did. And as he's talking to his auctioneer, you know, the auctioneer comes over to his place, and he's chatting with the auctioneer, and he's showing him all the tools, and, you know, he's looking at them, and the auctioneer points to one of these tools and says, you know, is that one for sale? It looks kind of shiny and brand new. And Ed, I can't get this thing to hook up, so you may be on today. So he's looking at that tool. He's looking at that shiny tool, and he's saying, well, what is that thing? Is that one for sale? And the devil looks at him and says, no. You know, I could do without a lot of these tools, but that particular tool I can't do without. That one is so handy. I can reach inside a person's heart with that thing, and I can open them up when nothing else will work, and then I can plant all kinds of seeds in there. He says, that one's not for sale, but all the rest of them, you can kind of put them out. He says, what is that tool? He says, that tool is called discouragement. You think about that. That tool is called discouragement. That is Satan's favorite tool, discouragement. Boy, I wish this thing was working. Hang on with me just a minute here.
Don't be discouraged.
No, I'm not. I can see what I did wrong, okay? It now is going to start. Oh, there it is, see? Thank you, Lord. Discouragement is the loss of confidence and courage in God's ability and trustworthiness. So let's go through that again. Discouragement is the loss of confidence and courage. And if you want to shorten it, the loss of confidence and courage in God. That's what discouragement is. We get downhearted. We get disheartened by it. There were some words, and I couldn't remember all these things in my head this day, so I'm just going to give them to you like this. These are words that go along with it. Disheartened, demoralized. When you lose hope in what's going on, when you are intimidated, when you are prevented or inhibited from doing something that God is asking you to do. Those are all signs of discouragement. And people will often say, well, what's the connection between discouragement and depression? And now, I want to say to you, I'm going to say to you, I am not a psychologist. And these are layman's terms for this kind of stuff. This is how I spot it when I look at it. But depression is really just a deepened state of discouragement where you feel powerless to change life, where you are, when you lose your meaning and your perspective and your purpose in life. That's depression. So depression is down the line deeper than discouragement. Discouragement's the beginning part of it, and then it can kind of move on beyond that. And I don't want to talk about discouragement today, but I want you to look at what the Proverbs says about discouragement. It says, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. If your face is cheerful, your heart is in good shape. But when the heart is sad, when the heart is discouraged, the spirit is broken. And you'll see it on the face, you'll see it in the shoulders, you'll see it in the countenance of an individual who is discouraged. It also says in this proverb statement, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A broken spirit, a discouraged spirit, a depressed spirit has an impact on the body. See, the bones are the structure of our body, but it affects the bones. It affects who we are and how we live. So, for the next six messages, we're going to talk about encouragement. And encouragement has a ton of different words that are attached to it, and you're going to see that today. But this is what encouragement is. Encouragement gives confidence and courage to trust God. See how it's the opposite of discouragement? So it gives the confidence and encouragement to trust God in our lives. And I'm going to show you something here, which I very seldom do. But I'm going to show you the Greek word, okay? So the Greek word is in the center up there. It's parakalao is the word. I don't expect you to know that word. I don't expect you to even remember that word. But the word means to call unto, to call somebody up, to call somebody to you. Kaleo means call. Para is the idea of unto someone. Now, but what I want you to see, and I know it's really difficult to see it, but all the words around that and all those little different colors in that circle there represent the different nuances and meaning of that particular word. So when that word is written in the Greek language, you have to figure out what it means by the context around it, okay? So notice it can go from comfort to encourage to urge to implore to exhort. All those words are inside of that one Greek word. So this morning we're going to do something, again, I don't normally do, but I want you to see what encouragement means by doing some what we call a word study. So a word study is where you take the word and you say, so where is this used and how is it used and how is it translated in different words? So the first one is comfort. So encouraging can be comforting. And it says here, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be parakaleo. They shall be comforted. So wherever there's a blue word up here, that is the word parakaleo, okay, the Greek word. But notice it's used here as the word of comfort. In 2 Corinthians says, he, that is God, comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we are able to give them the same comfort God has given to us. So there's the idea of consoling, of coming alongside and just kind of giving that kindness feel to the people that are around us. And the last one is God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. So Paul was discouraged. Paul was questioning his confidence and courage of God. He was discouraged. So if Paul, the apostle, can get discouraged, that means that all of us can be discouraged. But it says that God encouraged those who are discouraged, and he encouraged the arrival of Titus. Now, in another translation, it actually says he encourages those who are depressed. The King James says downcast. Okay? So all those words are in that idea of discouraged. So first one is comforting. So encouragement can mean actually comforting. It is a feeling. It's a good feeling. Okay? God comes along and he lifts us up. He delivers food to our tables. He cares for us, that type of thing. The next word that can be used is the word encourage. And here we find it says, and he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, and he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the brothers to stay true to the Lord. Notice that there is now not just a movement of consoling, but actually kind of a lifting up. He encouraged them to stay true to God. Also, it says in Acts 11, they encouraged them and continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So they're evidently suffering, and they came to them and they said, we want to encourage you. Stick with this. Don't lose this. Okay? So it's more than consoling, it's more of a bumping. Okay? It's hard to give you what it means, but you can start to see that there's a little more to this particular nuance of the word. Encouragement also goes on and says, so they encouraged each other and built up each other just as you are already doing. So encourage each other and build each other up. Here's the idea of actually helping someone to become better in their Christian faith. So the next one is called urging, to urge someone. Paul here in Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I urge you. Now, if you're starting to feel that there's a little bit more substance here, there is. This is kind of like, come on, let's get going. Not so many kind words. It's kind of like, you know what? You guys are out of line. Let's go. Let's pick it up a little bit, okay? Urging can also be said to be an appeal. I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your agreements. So these two women were at odds with each other. And Paul comes in and says, get it together, will you? Okay? Quit fighting. This is what a father does to his kids when they're fighting all day long. And he looks at him and says, go to that corner and get along. Okay? It's an appeal. It's encouragement. But it's harder, isn't it? There's more substance to it. And the last one is, Paul says to the Thessalonians, even so, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them even more. So they were already loving people, and he says, I want to encourage you to excel even more. Lift it up a little bit more. Do some more. Don't be satisfied with where you're at. So the urging is the appeal that he gives to us. The next one is called imploring, to implore someone. And this one comes out of the book of Mark, and the people who, when he came to Bethsaida, they brought him, a blind man, to him, and they implored him to touch him. Would you please touch this man so that you can heal him? In Mark 15, 17 says, and they began to implore him to leave their region. This is the story of the legion of demons that he cast out of this man, and the people from that particular area came in and says, get out of here. We don't want any part of you. So it's kind of this idea of we don't want this. And then he says, three times I begged the Lord to take it away. So this is Paul talking about this thorn in the flesh he had, this weakness he had, and he implored God. He begged him. So there is an idea here that it's an entreaty to someone. Please, let's do this together. And then the last one, the way it's used, is the word exhort. And this is the hardest one of the nuances. This is the one that has the most punch behind it, okay? So when you exhort someone, it says, now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you agree and there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and the same judgment. And this is coming out of the first book of 1 Corinthians. And this church has got a lot of problems. I mean, they have a lot of problems. They have division in the church. And so what he says to them, I exhort you. I exhort you to get it figured out. And then he says in 2 Timothy to the pastor in Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instructions. It's the responsibility of the pastor to exhort. He's to encourage, but he's also to exhort. Exhort is that black and white person. And there are some exhorters in our world, okay, in our body. Okay, people who see things black and white. It's either you're right or you're wrong, okay? And they will tell you when you're out of line. They're exhorters. They're strong in what they're saying. What you heard Ashley say up here this morning, that's an exhortation, okay? Let's get ready. Let's get ready. It's the coach in us that says, come on, we're going to make this thing work. It's right before the team. He's exhorting his team to come together to do it right so they get out on the floor and they're fired up, okay? The exhorter is a person who fires them up. Now, we would say the encourager would be, well, I'll come alongside and I'm going to pat you on the back and I'm going to walk with you a little bit and we're going to work it out. I'm the exhorter, okay? You want to know who I'm the encourager. You know who the exhorter in my family is? There was only another person. Rosemary's the exhorter. She's going to come along you and she says, yeah, let's do this, but you know what? You need to look at this. I mean, she... So, you see, there's all these different nuances of this word all up and down here. And what we're going to do over the next 6 weeks is we're going to talk about those nuances. Next week, we're going to talk about God being our great encourager because that's exactly what he is. This is also one on exhorting. It says, just as you know, we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one. Isn't that interesting? And by the way, you might ask yourself the question, so if encouraging and imploring are also used in that same sentence, was exhorting the only use of that word, or was that same word used again? Well, I asked that question also, and I found out that exhorting is the word parakaleo. Encouraging and imploring were two different words. Another word that uses those things. So it's interesting that they can use different words to get their point across. But as a father with his own children, fathers exhort their kids. They do. So here's what we're gonna come down to right here. This is one of the things we know about encouragement, that God is our great encourager. He's the one who encourages. That's what it says. But God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. God is our great encourager. That's where we're going to be next week. We're going to talk about this in detail. How does God encourage us? What does he do to help us stay on track? And we're going to see that he uses a lot of these techniques that we're already talking about. You see, God loves us, and he doesn't want us to walk down the aisles that we shouldn't be walking down. You know, as he looks out in front of us and he can see everything that's going on in front of us, if we were talking about driving a car down the road, okay, and there was this huge hole in the road up ahead that's there and hasn't got any signs up, he's the one who would say, stop the car. Because if you don't stop the car, you're going to run into this hole and you're going to get really badly hurt. So God is the one who is our great encourager. He's our exhorter. He's our implorer. He urges us. But at the same time, we also are to be encouragers. And this is really where I want to camp today. I want to talk about this in kind of length. It says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 24th verse, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meetings together as some do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his returning is drawing near. Now, I put this in this phrasing because I want to start at the top and work to the bottom. First of all, the writer of Hebrews is saying to us, he's encouraging us. He's encouraging us at this point. And he says, let's think of ways to motivate one another to love and good works. Love is thinking more highly of another person and trying to figure out what their needs are ahead of my own. So we all come together in this assembly of believers on a Sunday morning. And sometimes the problem with this assembly is that we get in and we get out as fast as we can. Now, not everybody does that, okay? But it's a great place to just sit and have a conversation with somebody about how life is going. This is what this is about. Let us think about ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. It's not just about the sermon, because that's intended to do that. But at the same time, we all are called to do this. And then he says, let us not neglect our meeting together. So let me put a little bit more hammer on this one. In our culture today, two Sundays out of a month is considered good attendance in church. Two out of four. Okay? We're finding the same thing true. We see that. Now, we don't take attendance. Okay? We're just watching. We're just looking at where people are at. And, you know, I look around and I think to myself, oh, I missed somebody this way. Oh, yeah, I didn't see them. I want to say to you as a pastor, gathering together is not an option. That's what this verse says. Gathering together as believers is not an option. We are not to neglect our meeting together, as some people do. But then he gives this but, okay? But let's encourage one another. Let's encourage one another. Encourage one another with what? Meeting together and how to do love and good deeds to one another. That's what this is all about, is when you meet together with another believer, you ought to be encouraging them to say, well, how's life treating you? What's going on? What have you been reading? What have you been praying about? Has God answered your prayers? Are there any things that are going on in your life that you would say, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this? And you start to lose confidence in God, then we need to step alongside and say, well, don't lose your confidence. So understand, God is still the same person. We're the ones who are shifting, okay? And then he says, especially as you see the day of his return drawing near. You hear from me all the time, I believe Jesus is coming back really soon. I do. But you will hear that from me the day before I die too. I will say the same thing. I hope he comes back before I die. And I may be on my deathbed. And you may come to my funeral. At my funeral, they're going to say, Jesus is coming back. That's what Dave said. That's what Jesus said. I believe he's coming back soon, okay? And I know that people say this all the time. They say, well, you've been saying that for all your life. You betcha have. And Paul said it for all his life too. And he still believed. And so because he's returning, we need to be actively pursuing these things. So let me tell you this. Let me go back to the story that Brianna talked about. And I loved her sharing this with me last week. But she was talking about this, having this God point where God kind of just got in her head and changed her mind about things, okay? This is what life was really about. And then she started talking to Anna. And Anna, from thousands of miles away, is encouraging Brianna to pursue what God is asking her to do. See, that's what encouragement is. Encouragement is, let's do what's the right thing to do. And I want to say that to you. I want to say to you this morning, let's do what's the right thing to do. Find somebody this morning, God lays them on your heart, okay? You see them and you say to yourself, oh, I need to talk to them. Find them, go talk to them, and see why God's... Just do a probe. How you doing? You know, what's going on in your life? And if you probe just a little bit, most people will pop open and they'll let you know what's going on. And then you can pray together. You can encourage them. You can build up their courage and confidence in God. Don't let the devil take away the courage and confidence in God. We are the ones who build him up. Now, this particular idea sometimes has been leveled at the pastor. That my responsibility is to encourage the body. And I want to say to you, as I want to go back to this one verse, I want to say, notice it here that we are to encourage one another. This is the job of every believer in Jesus Christ. It's not one person's job, it's the job of every believer. If we all check out how everybody else is doing around us, let's just say 50% of you do this, okay? If 50% check out 50%, you just covered the whole church. Because we have a whole lot more effectiveness than one person. And so it's all of our jobs to be encouragers, to be exhorters, to implore, to comfort, to be there for those who are around us. So I want to encourage you. Don't forget about next week. We're going to talk about God as our great encourager, and then we're going to go from that into further statements about encouragement over the next 6 weeks. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you that you do encourage us, and you do exhort us, and you do comfort us. Lord Jesus, you were the best at all this. There were times when you came alongside your disciples, and you laid your hand on their shoulders, and you said, it's going to be okay. And there were other times when you told them they were wrong, and then you explained what was going on and what they need to know was right. Lord, you are always at work among us, and your Father never stops working. And I thank you, Father, that you are encouraging us today, that you are building us up, you are lifting us up. And Father, I just pray that if there is anyone here this morning that's listening to this and they're discouraged, I pray that you, the great encourager, would be lifting them up. And Father, you would send them someone who would say to them, I'm praying. I'm praying for you in this particular need that you have, and I am ready to help you no matter what. So Father, would we lift one another up in this body, and the health of this body would continue to increase and to grow stronger as we see the day of your coming drawing near. In Jesus' name, amen.